Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Red Men News. It's me, Ben. Joining me today is Jack. We are here on the back of Jurgen Klopp's first press conference for about 3 months ahead of an actual Premier League game for Liverpool. We've got Everton at the weekend at Goodison Park. I'm so excited about it. And we've got loads to get through. We're going to talk about Richarlison, the Carabao Cup later on as well, and a little bit of news about Leroy Sane that's just broken recently this afternoon as well. Thanks for joining me, Jack. We'll just get straight into it with the press conference stuff. So because there's loads to get through. So we are going to start with stuff about the null and void stuff, because obviously he was asked about that. He was asked about his thoughts on, whether or not the season, well, how he felt when the season potentially wasn't going to continue at all. And he said, honestly, yes, I became worried in the moment when people started talking about null and void. I was like, wow, that would have been really, really hard. And I suppose, Jack, you know, from a fan perspective, we don't necessarily think about it from the player's perspective. You know, we think about it from maybe a rivalry point of view. You know, if the season had been declared null and void, we'd have ended up, you know, being obviously laughed at and mocked by other fans. But from a player's point of view and from a manager's point of view, it's like, this is something that they've worked so hard for over several years now, not just this season. Obviously the run that they put together has been fantastic, but this is something that Klopp in particular has been building up to basically since he arrived at Liverpool, and there was a possibility that was going to be taken away, and that would have been so difficult for them as professionals. You know, it would have been so strange.
Yeah, it's so good to have Klopp's press conferences back and you know, have actual news to react to rather than rumours. But you know, it was one of them comments from Jurgen Klopp where I think anyone that hasn't watched the presser should probably watch that, because you could see by his reaction he was very much like it's easy for people to say and throw that null and void thing about, but as you refer to there, these players have worked so hard for this season. And Jurgen Klopp, when he first came to the club, he said that he was going to win the league for Liverpool within his first 4 or 5 years, and he's delivering that. And you know, this is absolutely what him and the squad have done this season, and they've done a fantastic job and broken records and got to a points tally that has been magnificent, only losing once on the way, of course. We're 6 points away, and you could just see by his reaction, he was like, as much as you and I couldn't understand where that null and void thing came from, and surprised that some clubs and fans want it, because it's not the right thing. These players have spent a long time working towards that, and the staff as well, working towards our first title in 30 years. So it would have been ridiculous to null and void the season. And you can see by Klopp's reaction in the presser that's exactly what he thought as well. It would have been absolutely ridiculous to do that.
So then obviously followed that up saying, when null and void was taken off the table, I was relieved. Now we go for it. We don't think in our minds that we are nearly there. We needed a lot of work and luck to get here, and that is what we need again. I hope I can enjoy it. We need to make sure that we play our best football. And while he's right to an extent, Jack, to say that we don't think we are, in our minds, we are nearly there, when literally this time next week we could be champions, I think obviously he's just trying to play that down, isn't he?
Yeah, there's a lot of professionals that tend to do that, and we could have won it. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if when we do win it, Jurgen Klopp goes, well, we still need to get 3 points every week and stuff like that. Just shows how much of a professional coach he is. And he said throughout the interview that actually without fans in the stadium, he still wants to win. And that's always the aim, to win, to win, to win. So, you know, I think for Jurgen Klopp, it'll always be making sure we get the points before we can celebrate being champions. We have to make sure we're champions first, and clearly after City's result in midweek, we're still 6 points away from doing that. So we've got to focus on winning against Everton, and then we can focus on winning against Crystal Palace and wrapping the league title up.
Yeah, absolutely. He was very briefly asked about Timo Werner, which I thought was a risky question given the way that that saga's panned out. He was basically asked what went down, which he was never going to reveal, you know, the entirety of what's gone on. But he said, "We don't speak about transfers, especially of Chelsea." He was saying, you know, "I don't know why you're asking me about a transfer that Chelsea have made." Timo Werner is a really good footballer. He's announced for Chelsea next season. That is it. And that's basically all we're going to get from Klopp, I imagine, on that. I mean, I don't think this is the right show necessarily to go into the details of what we think happened with that transfer. Obviously, there's shows on the website for that. But, you know, for me personally, it was disappointing to miss out on him. I think he's a good player. But whatever the reasons are for that, I understand, you know, whether it's money, whether it's Klopp deciding that he's not going to fit or he's not going to be able to offer him enough game time. I don't know. But still, it was a risky move to be asking him in a press conference for me anyway. He was also asked about injuries because obviously there's been discussions, Jack, about Robertson and Salah in particular. He was also asked about Alisson because obviously Alisson missed the final few games before the lockdown. And basically, yeah, they all look good, he says. During training period, there have been a few problems, which is normal. None of them are ruled out for Sunday, like I say. And I think this is you were saying before, this comes off the back of a few rumours, I think, yesterday, maybe the day before, saying that Salah might be out or Salah, you know, might be a doubt for Sunday. So it was good for him to sort of put everybody's minds at rest and say everybody's fit.
Yeah, it's brilliant news to know we have a completely fit first team squad and you know, they're all ready and together to get these 6 points that we need to win the league. And, you know, things like Salah being absent are always a worry. And with the five substitution thing and players maybe being more likely to pick up injuries with this long break and then straight back into the intensity that we need to continue the season. We need our full squad and we need players like Mohamed Salah fully fit. And, you know, it's really good news that he'll be able to start against Everton and there's nothing ruling him out. The same with Robertson and the same with Alisson. As we've seen from Alisson against Atletico Madrid, it was massive us missing him. And you know, we saw the mistake Adrian made. And it's just a really good boost to know that Alisson is back now and he's a massively important player for us, as they all are in their own individual unique ways. So it's really good to know that we've got a fully fit squad and we're ready and raring to go.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple more things. So Klopp on five subs. It is a necessity, he says. I'm really happy that we were all pretty much agreed on that. I heard at the beginning maybe the bottom clubs thought it would be an advantage. I didn't see it 1 second like this. It's about the players. I suppose he's right. Obviously, it is a fitness thing. But also, I think for us, once we do wrap the league up, it's going to be really beneficial for us to have five subs because you've got the likes of the young kids who are probably going to get more game time than they probably would have anticipated. So which is a good thing, obviously, because, you know, if you think about the way that this is all going to pan out, the likes of Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, all those lads that you follow a lot more closely than I do, they're probably going to end up with more opportunities than they would have done, not only because, you know, we've got plenty of games to sort of experiment with them, but also there's literally more substitutions, more opportunities to get them on the pitch. So yeah, I think that's a good thing. One more thing that I do want to talk about is the Minamino stuff. I don't know whether you saw that. Klopp was asked about Minamino and whether or not this period has helped him settle with the squad. And actually, Jack, I was thinking about it. This must have been a really difficult period for Minamino, had the potential to be, because if you think about, you know, he's come to this country in January. You know, okay, he's been living in Salzburg, but, you know, it's a completely different culture to probably what he's used to. I don't think his English is brilliant. It's probably in quite a lonely time for him. And I think, what Klopp suggested is certainly that the squad have really helped him settle in, even virtually over this period. And, you know, it probably just goes to show how well everybody's gelling together, despite the fact that they've all been kept apart.
Yeah, absolutely. And Klopp actually refers to it in his presser and says that's how we've got to where we are, the togetherness of the squad. And he says, obviously, there's brilliant relationships in between the squad, but also the fact that the staff at Liverpool decided to make a WhatsApp group during the break and that's been full of stuff throughout, which I think is brilliant. And personally, I'd love to be added to that just for a day to see what it's like. Mm. But, you know, I think it's brilliant and it wouldn't happen at much of the clubs, but I think we're the perfect squad for it. And there will be so many players in our squad that took Minamino under their wing and helped him through this. And I think it's fantastic. We saw against Blackburn, obviously, he bagged himself a goal in that as well. So I think it's brilliant news to see that he's obviously a lot more settled now. He's probably got good relationships within the squad. And I think we're going to see some brilliant performances and a lot more of Minamino when we get back. Because like you say, we need 6 points. We'll wrap this title up and then we can give players like Minamino more game time to settle in and obviously see more of Naby Keita as well, who I think is going to be massive in these next few weeks, because we're seeing from these training games he seems to be in really good form, and hopefully we can get the best Naby Keita that we've been wanting since he's joined for the club, and we can keep him fit during this time.
Yeah, they've been saying, haven't they, that he seems to have gone up a level. And obviously the teams that we, you know, play in Blackburn, you know, you'd expect us to comfortably do Blackburn. But, you know, if he's really stepping up, even in training sessions after this period where maybe players aren't as sharp or perhaps aren't as sharp as you'd expect them to be, but he's looking like he is, then, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he gets on the pitch, whether he starts on Sunday or what. I don't know what the team will be. I imagine it'll just be the team that we've become accustomed to, the midfield that we've become accustomed to. But if Klopp fancies, you know, has seen something that's caught his eye over the last few weeks in training and fancies throwing Keita in there, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to that. So that the team selection will be interesting. And obviously with the five subs as well, you'd imagine that Keita gets onto the pitch at some point on Sunday, and hopefully he can show us what he can do. So we'll move on from the press conference now and we'll move on to the title of the video. The Richarlison story that sort of broke this morning. So he's been speaking to Desimpedidos, which I imagine is a Brazilian media outlet, talking about Virgil van Dijk. It's funny because Steve Hall tweeted this morning, basically he's just done the team talk for us for Sunday for us. He's basically been slagging off Virgil van Dijk a little bit. People talk a lot about him. Yes, he is a great defender, but I've already dribbled past him. He was chosen as one of the top three in the world as he has an excellent season. But yes, for me, there are better defenders. This is interesting, Jack, isn't it? Because what I want to highlight here is the I've already dribbled past him bit. Like, this really is like some kind of trophy in players' minds now. Like, this is the level that Van Dijk's at, that players are having to come out and say things like this.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, really, these comments. I think it's stupid in what he says, because he says that there's better defenders out there, but who else would he be bragging about dribbling past? I don't think there's many other defenders that he'd come out and say, oh, look who I've just dribbled past, which shows just how great Virgil van Dijk is. And as you say, it already does the team talk, and I'm sure if Virgil's seen that, he'll have a big grin on his face because he knows it's nonsense. He will know it's nonsense. But like you say, it's a big trophy for him as well that he's got professional players celebrating, even dribbling past him. And this is coming from a player who took his shirt off and celebrated in the way he did against Lincoln City in the Cup. So
yeah, it's a good point. Yeah,
it's the levels right there.
He said that, he named Thiago Silva and Marquinhos, as well as Real Madrid veteran Sergio Ramos, as the centre-backs he rates most highly. And to be fair, those players are good players. But Thiago Silva's, 33, 34, he's moving on from PSG at the end of the season. He's been linked with Everton, actually. So whether or not that's a bit of a wolf whistle and a cat call for Thiago Silva to come over to Goodison, I don't know. Sergio Ramos is obviously a world-class centre-back, so, you know, they're all in the same category, but I think it's just a little bit of trash talk, isn't it, before the weekend. And
I think you have to look there as well. Marquinhos and Silva, obviously both Brazilian as well, and probably good mates of Richarlison. So that's why he's saying them, and Ramos as well. There's a lot of people that compare Ramos and Van Dijk for the best player in the world, best centre-back in the world right now. But I think he's just trying to get in Van Dijk's head ahead of playing against him. But it's not going to work. And you know, I think I personally, and there's probably a lot of other people ready to see Richarlison being absolutely pocketed by Van Dijk on Sunday night.
It's going to be an interesting battle that now. Right, let's move on to the final story. No top seven in League Cup as fixtures pile up. The League Cup faces the prospect of being played without seven Premier League sides next season because of the fixture pile up caused by the delay to the start of the campaign. The dates for the Champions League and the Europa League were announced on Wednesday, with two rounds likely to clash with the Cup, which would effectively rule out English clubs competing in Europe from taking part in the domestic competition. It's funny how this is going to fall for me, Jack, because I could kind of see that this is the direction the competition was heading in anyway. And maybe this has just sped things up, accelerated things, and we're at the point where, whereas this might have taken 2 or 3 years to get to this stage, it's happening sooner than we thought it would have done.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the last few years, it's been City's B team winning it, really, hasn't it? It's been showing their squad depth, because everyone's been putting out B teams until it gets to like the quarterfinals, semi-finals. And then City's B team is obviously better than everyone else's because they spend millions and billions on it. So, but we'll move on from that. And you've got, obviously, it would have been nice from a Liverpool perspective to see us playing the kids again in that competition. But we've seen from previous seasons that Jurgen Klopp gets heavily criticised for doing stuff like that. And it just saves us that the hassle of doing that. And like you say, I think it's been heading in that direction for a number of years now. And this coronavirus stuff has most likely sped up the process of that. But I don't think as Liverpool fans we'll miss it. It's a competition that's been going downhill for a few years now. But it's good to know that people are thinking of the players now and fitness, and actually realising that they're playing too many games in short periods of time, and it's not good for them.
No, I totally agree. And I think in terms of the competition itself, obviously, as you've alluded to there, it's not something, it doesn't feel like a competition that top six sides of, or top seven, you know, the European sides necessarily have taken seriously over the last few years. In particular, obviously City won it 3 times in a row now, I think. So it's actually a good opportunity for everybody else. If you think of the likes of, you know, not only like some Premier League sides who have gone a long time without a trophy, but also of you know Championship sides that are flying high, might fancy themselves to get far and, you know, get to a semi-final or a final a day out of Wembley, and all that's a good opportunity for them as well. So I think this is a happy accident. I think this works out quite nicely for everybody. I mean, we ended up in a unique pitch situation this season where we could use the competition for some good in a way, because we got to give that team against Villa some valuable experience that no other club would be able to give their young players, so many of their young players. But for me, you know, overall, as a Liverpool fan, I'm not bothered about that competition. It doesn't particularly excite me anymore. Maybe that's, you know, maybe some people will look upon that opinion with some elitism. I don't know. But I do think that maybe by not having those teams in the competition, you've got a good opportunity for other clubs to go and win it. So let's talk through some comments then. We've got a couple about Richarlison. It's ironic, Richarlison won't even be the best Brazilian on the pitch yet. Good point. Assuming Firmino plays, but yeah, that's a good point. And Paul Young, Richarlison's biggest career achievement was a rumour linking him to Liverpool, and he couldn't dribble past our reserve team. I mean, he did play in January and didn't do much at all, did he?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he won't even be the second best Brazilian on the pitch because we've got Alisson, of course, as
Alisson,
well.
Alisson, of course, yeah. Yeah, and I'm losing track of my Brazilians. And then on the League Cup, Joe Lawrence, not too bothered about it, to be honest. If there is any cup not to be involved in, it's that one. Yeah, exactly. It's not like we're going to pick to be involved in the League Cup. It's not like we're going to swerve Europe, is it, and go, oh, well, no, it's all right, we'll just play Milton Keynes on a Wednesday night instead, away from home. You know, we're not going to do that. Kieran B, actually, the League Cup is good for the kids. So that is the flip side, Jack. You know, you cover all the academy stuff. It is the play devil's advocate. It is a good opportunity, as we already said, to get kids minutes on the pitch. So in a way, is it a disappointing one because you can't give those kids those minutes?
Yeah, for me, I was a bit disappointed at first, because you think of some minutes for the kids this season, and like the Aston Villa game gave some youngsters an absolutely fantastic experience, which I know isn't likely to happen again, and we were forced into putting a team out that was that young, but it was a magnificent experience. And you look at the Arsenal game as well, how well Nico Williams did that night, Curtis Jones scoring the winning penalty. That's when these players use it as a platform for them to burst onto the scene. And you know, without that, these youngsters have less opportunities to impress and to get a place in the team. But with that being said, we don't know what's happening with this five substitutions, whether that's something that will stay in place beyond this season. If that's the case, then we may see more youngsters getting appearances in the Premier League, with a lot more players being able to get on the bench and to get on the pitch. So it's going to be interesting times, but I am sort of a bit upset that we'll see less of the youngsters, because the Carabao Cup was a competition where we look to play the youngsters and see our young players get first team opportunities.
Yeah, and I suppose maybe, you know, I mean, the kids that are good enough will obviously eventually force their way into the Premier League squads, match day squads and things like that. But, you know, I do get what you're saying there. But we'll wrap it up there anyway. Thanks very much for joining me, Jack. Thanks for your thoughts on all those stories. Thanks very much for your comments. If you do have any more thoughts on anything we've discussed on the press conference, Richarlison or the League Cup story, let us know in the comments below. And yeah, subscribe to the channel, like the video, and we'll be back at some point with more Red Men news. Thanks very much for watching again. See you later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.